we want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
Moment when God is touching you and it's really God and it's authentic, you don't care what anyone else is thinking. And I've been in services where you dance and you just don't want to stop, and people start running, like, where are you running? I feel the Lord, I'm running, and they just start running. And so we don't have a lot of chandeliers, but we can we're open to it. If God wants to bring the chandeliers, we'll swing from them, I suppose. I kind of say in a joking way, but I'm serious. I really am. Galatians 5:22 is our key verse, 5:22 through 23. I want to read it to you just quickly. It says this: the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is not a series we're in. This is a lifestyle. This is our last week on this subject, but this should not leave our minds. This is a lifestyle we live by, the fruit of the Spirit. As you notice in these talks, I haven't gone typically, today we're going to talk about love, today we're going to talk about joy, today we're going to talk, because of two reasons. One, because the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit. It's one thing. It's being like Jesus. It's acting like Jesus. It's walking like Jesus. It's taking on the characteristics of Jesus. It's taking on the characteristic and the nature of God. When we have the fruit, it's one big package. It's a whole bundle. You get it all at one time, and it's free. It's one thing. That's one reason we haven't talked each one, although that wouldn't be wrong to talk about each one. I just didn't feel led that way. And then the second reason is because the context of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is just as important as the fruit itself. Don't take me too far on that, but it really is. Everything around Galatians 5:22 is just as important as the fruit itself, and it's the reason why you have the fruit in your life. So you could focus on the fruit, but you got to focus on how do you get that. And this first part is going to be a bit boring. Just stay with me, and it'll get more or maybe less boring or more boring. I don't know. We'll see. But I got a little bored with that, but I know what I was saying was important, but I saw a lot of frowns. So everybody smile. Everybody smile. The context is very important. Galatians 5 and John 15, these are two verses. John 15 talks about God being the gardener. We are the vine. We are the branches. He is the vine. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The context of the fruit of the Spirit are these three things. When we are connected, this is the part, stay with me. When we are connected and rooted to the vine, okay, Jesus, sorry, I saw you laughing and I lost my train of thought, I'm sorry. When we are connected and rooted to the vine, Jesus, that's one of the parts of the context. The second one is the fruit of the Spirit only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it comes through. If you're not connected to the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit might as well be a million miles away. The fruit of the Spirit just happens. It happens because the Spirit is in your life. And then the third thing is this. When we stay away from the desires of the flesh, that was part right before the fruits, it says, here are the desires of the flesh, stay away from them. If you don't stay away from the desires of the flesh, sin, bad stuff, if you don't stay away from them, you'll never have the fruit in your life. Those are the three contexts. They're so important. I'm going to say them again in case you were daydreaming. The three pieces of the context are this: when we are connected and rooted to the vine, Jesus, only by the power of the Holy Spirit, and when we stay away from the desires of the sinful nature. You know that even when life is at its worst, at its hardest, when you feel empty, when you feel like it's all over, when you feel like you can't do it, when you feel like you're heavy, when you're weary, when you're tired, when you're fatigued, we always have a supply, a secret reservoir of the rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit, the power inside of us. I'll say it again. When you are bummed out, you always have right at your fingertips. I think someone said all it takes is just a quick moment. You just ask for it. You just say, break in my life, and it has to break because the Holy Spirit is 20 miles that way in Pueblo. No, 50 miles. No, the Holy Spirit is here inside of you. The reason you got saved was because of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. You still have the Holy Spirit with you, or you would have never asked Jesus to be in your life. He's there, and he's at a beck and call. You say, Holy Spirit, I need you. And you can turn on a faucet like this in your life. Well, how do I do this? I don't feel the Holy Spirit. Do you know how you do it? Is do stuff like this. Start talking about it because I am turned on. All I had to do, that sounded weird, but you know, I turn on the faucet and the Holy Spirit just starts to flow. The more you give it to someone, it just starts to come out. I could literally not go on from this moment and talk about this the rest of the time because the faucet is on and I feel the Holy Spirit coming out of me. That's the way we're supposed to live. When you are weary, you have a secret supply. I read the scripture last week. Go look at it. Go look up the podcast. Rivers of living water will flow from you once you get to church. No, rivers of living water will flow out. I almost gave it away. When you sing Heart of Worship, no, rivers of living water flow out of you. They're in you already. They flow out of you onto others and make you feel filled up. They fill you up. Galatians 5:1 says this: it is for freedom that Christ set us free. You could say it like this: it is for freedom, or it is so that we can be fruitful that he set us free. You could say it like this: it is so that we can live life fully alive that we were set free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Let me be very clear. There is a slavery that happens in our lives, and it comes through our flesh, sometimes because we're just dumb and we just give in to things that we shouldn't. I want that ice cream, and I want it now, and I want it later, and I want it tomorrow, right? We give in to those things. Those are our flesh. Sometimes it came out of nowhere. I want to do that right now. And I don't know where it's coming from, but I want to do. I want to give in to this. That's the devil or his demons. I'm sure he's got all kinds of them all over the place. I don't mean they're all over the place, but they're around, and they will cause you to be yoked to slavery. The word yoked is not a word we use anymore, but they had these two big long wood things, and one bull was on one side, or ox, and one ox was on the other, and they plow the field, and if this one was doing it, this one had to do it. That's a yoke. When the sin is there and it's working, you have to give in to the sin. It says, if you want to have freedom, then don't give in to the yoke of slavery. Stand firm. Do not let yourself be burdened by the yoke of slavery. I want to deal with this just for a minute, our sin, our flesh, our tendencies. I've heard people say, it's just in me. It's just, I was raised this way, or it's my tendency to give in to this. I can't help that I'm always depressed. I can't help that I'm a negative person. Yes, you can. You are yoked to the slavery. You cut it off. You let the Holy Spirit break it off, and then you don't have to give in to it. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm Irish. I am prone to drinking a lot. I can't help it. I just do." No, that is the flesh. That is the sin at work. I can't help it. My mom was a complainer, so I am a complainer. It's my lot in life. It's my tendency. I have an addictive personality. I can't help that. My brother never said that, but he had an addictive personality, I felt. But really, it was just that he was given into sin more than he should. He would, yeah, let's move on. He's saved now. He's saved. Right, Sharon? Yes. Your tendency, let me tell you what your tendency really is. You want to know what your tendency? Well, my tendency is that I like to eat a lot of ice cream. My tendency is that I like to smoke a lot of joints. I don't know. My tendency is that I shoot a lot of crack, or I don't know, drink, whatever it is. Your tendency is to be a child of God. That's your tendency. That's who you are created to be. The Bible says you, my sister, you, my brother, were created in the image of God. Me? How could I? Does that mean I look like God? Maybe. Maybe God looks like us, but it does say we were created in his image. He didn't create us like the animals that look all different. He created just us in his image. We are created to be his children. Here's the thing with sin and living for God and living the fruit of the Spirit in your life and living in sin. There's two kinds of fruit, right? Living in the fruit of sin or the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the thing. We think, and please hear this part. Please hear this, especially young people, because I never got taught this as a kid, although I'm sure that everyone that taught me believed this. But the truth is, your tendency, what you want to do, is not sin. You don't want to sin. Well, yeah, I do. I do want to sin. That's the thing. God wants me to don't do this, don't do that. Your tendency is that you don't want to sin. That's your tendency. But we give in to our sin. It's not giving into, oh, who we are. It's actually giving into who you want, who you're not. And that's why when you give into it, it's not fulfilling. It's not fruitful. It's not an overflowing, abundant, fun, exciting life. It's a, I just don't feel any peace. I don't feel any love. I don't feel fulfilled, this Christian life. It's because you're giving in to the thing that's not who you are. You're meant to be almost a slave to being right. When you start walking rightly, righteously, it feels right because it's who you are. Okay, moving on. Moving on. The Living Bible explains the fruit of the flesh like this. Right before it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it talks about the fruit of the flesh. And we're dealing with the fruit of the flesh for a minute. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I'm going to read it in the Living Bible. And it says it like this. And it kind of, sorry to say, but it describes us often, who we are. But when you follow your own tendencies, your lives will produce these kind of results. And he calls them evil results. Although we think they're fun for a minute because someone lied to us to tell us they're fun. Somewhere along the way at 13 years old or 16 years old or 18 years old or somewhere in there, I believe the lie that the evil, the sin, is the fun stuff. The God stuff is not the fun stuff. I was lied to by, the father of all lies, the Bible calls him the devil. He tricks us into thinking these things are what we want. And it says this, impure thoughts, these are the fruit of the flesh. Eagerness for lustful pleasure. Idolatry, well, I don't worship idols anymore. That was for the old days. Anything in your life that gets in the way of God, it could even be baseball, which I have not watched one game this week, so I am not talking to myself. So there you go. But it could be idolatry. Spiritism, that is, what is spiritism? Well, that is encouraging the activity of demons in your life. You could go, I don't know, there's a lot of places that we give place to demons and we think, oh, it's harmless. And then people come begging the church to help them. And you're like, what'd you do? And then they talk about activity with demons. Hatred and fighting. Jealousy and anger. Jealousy is right up there. It sounds like an innocent one. But when you're jealous of someone else, that's the fruit of the flesh. Anger. Constant effort to get the best for yourself. Oh, that sounds like selfishness, I suppose. Complaints and criticism are right up there. Ooh, I have done that this week. I have complained. I have criticized. I'm trying to think of just to try to, so you don't think I'm so righteous, which I know none of you do, but I think I was at a, I was at a restaurant and I was thinking, I am going to send this back. I'm going to tell them what I think about this. I didn't end up doing it, not because I didn't want to and because I'm so godly. It was just because it was too late. The lady never came back and I was getting ready to complain, but we do it. Complaints and criticisms. The feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in your own little group. That's an interesting one. We could go into that. You could read it later this week. And there will be wrong doctrine, envy, murder. Murder's right up there with those others. With complaining at the grocery store? Oh, my gosh. Drunkenness. Oh, you say the drinking's not wrong. Well, maybe it's not, but drunkenness is wrong. Wild parties. All that sort of thing. I like the way he said it. All that sort of thing, okay? In another version, it says, and the like, okay? If I didn't name your problem, then it's there. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom. That's pretty heavy, will not inherit the kingdom. Can I just say that we're not meant to be harnessed to our sin. We're not meant to be paired with the chains of our old man. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, probably you have this one memorized, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you don't, write it down, it's a good one. It reminds you of what you are when you think you're not. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creation because of Christ. You are a new creation. Well, I feel like an old creation. Well, let me tell you, I know what you feel like, but who you are and what you feel like are two different things. You are a new creation, even in the midst of your whatever you do wrong. I'm trying not to make eye contact with everyone, but I should make eye contact with everyone. You are a new creation in spite of that in your life. You are a new creation. Well, how do I bear the fruit of the Spirit instead of the fruit of my flesh? Well, that's a big, giant question that we don't have the time to talk about today, but let me try to answer it really quickly. John 15:4, you got to read this scripture with me. Oh, another Bible verse? Yes, read it because it's God's word to you. You need to read this. Maybe you've never heard this before. John 15:4 says, remain in me. I'm with you, so remain in me. No branch. You will never bear fruit by yourself. You must remain in me. Neither can you bear fruit. Okay, he's repeating himself in case you weren't listening. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Didn't it sound like he repeated himself? It sounds a lot like, it is for freedom that you are set free. But he knows that humans need to be things repeated to them. So three things I'm going to share. Three things. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm just going to share them. How do I bear fruit of the Spirit instead of fruit of my flesh? They're very simple. Stay connected to the right vine and the right root system. We talked about the atrium. We talked about some of those plants went turned black because of the elements around them. Right in the middle of a church, they start to die because of the cold around them. And the good thing is that some of them had roots that went down deep enough that even though the top turned black, they started to come back. You can go out there and look. It's a perfect object lesson. Some of the ugliest plants out there are the ones that at the very top, all this green green edge has sprung up because their roots were in the right place. So stay connected to the right vine and the right root system. I heard Billy Graham ask the question, a very telling question. I'm going to ask the question of you. What do you need to make you more successful? If you could have just one thing, I don't know how he would say it, but yeah, picture Billy Graham asking, if you could have just one thing, what would it be that would make you more successful? Well, I could sure use a new car. I could sure use a car, period. I could sure use a place to stay where the rent is cheaper. I could use a better job. Yes, we go through all these things. If your answer to that one thing is not Jesus, then you have the wrong priorities. you're in idolatry to something else. Because the one thing you need besides anything else, the only thing that you really need that's going to make you successful is a relationship. Stay connected to the vine, the right root system. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you look up the Greek, this is the worst joke in the world, and every preacher has said it, but you look up the Greek for nothing, it means no thing. It means nothing. You can't do anything if you don't have Jesus with you. And the second one is this: stay connected to the right vine and root system. Number two, feed the right vine and root system. What are you talking about, the right? There's just, Jesus says, I am the vine. There's only one vine. You know, we often feed the wrong vine. And this is where I want to get into your business a bit. I want to make someone a bit uncomfortable today. Unless you want to be like the one in the last verse when it was talking about the sinful nature, that we always look at someone else has got the problem and not us. We all have problems, okay? So if I don't mention your sin today, know that you have a sin that I just didn't mention, and the Holy Spirit will burn it in you, and it'll make you feel bad right now. It's called conviction. It's not called condemnation. It's called conviction. We often feed the wrong vine. Feed the right vine. You know, there are many vines. Don't tell me, why does this have to be so confusing? There's many vines? I thought there's only one vine. Ever since the very beginning, God gave us free will. He loves you enough to not say, Seth, do this and only this, and you have no choice, and that's the way it's going to be. So live for me and love me. Thank you for loving me. Start loving me. No, you have no choice. No, he gives you a choice. Ever since the beginning of time, God, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they had two vines they could choose from. They had two trees. Feed the right one. Feed the right vine system. We often feed the wrong one, and let me spell it out plainly to you. Some think the vine they should feed is, you could name any of those that we just mentioned of the sinful nature. I'm going to mention one that's prevailing in the United States among men and women. But it's this: pornography. That is a vine that people feed. And they watch it, they see it, they look for it, they think about it, and wonders ever cease. It takes root. It does. And guess what? It bears fruit in their life. But the fruit is not the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of sin. And they wonder. Everybody say amen to it so you don't have to be saying, oh, that's me. Everybody say amen. Do you agree with that? Pornography is like ridiculous. I remember as a kid growing up, I didn't even know that word, pornography. And the word Playboy magazine, it was like, never would I ever see one. It would be impossible. I don't know how I could ever even find one. Now, at our beck and call, immediately, just like the fruit of the Spirit and the Spirit of the living water flows out of us, at any second, we can look at anything in the world on our phones. And we wonder why we don't see the fruit of joy in our life. Well, let me tell you, you can't have an apple on an orange tree. You can have just apples. You can't have good stuff on a sin tree. A tree, you got it. So what do I do? What do we do because of this? You cut it down. Last week we closed our beautiful Mother's Day service by saying, kill your flesh. Don't hurt your flesh, kill it. We need to cut it down. Whatever you think is who you are. Whatever you talk about is who you become. Whatever goes in is what comes out. Renew your mind. Uproot the other vine. That rhymed. Quit trying to repair your branches. You can't fix your branches when your roots are in the wrong place, when your vine is the wrong vine. Cut it down and find the right vine, which is Jesus. It's easy to preach, but it's something that we don't do. Tap into a whole new root system. And you know what you do to the other one? You feed the right one. You feed the fruit of the Spirit, and the other one, you don't feed at all. You don't look at it. You don't see it. You don't water it. You don't spend time in it. You don't give time to it. And what happens? It dies. It becomes much easier to live for the fruit of the Spirit in your life when this is dead. When this is competing, You're gonna go to this fruit. You're gonna take this, you're gonna eat it all day. When they're competing, forget it. You're not gonna win. You gotta build up this one and starve the other one. It's like cancer. If you have cancer in your body, often they'll tell you, we need to cut it out or you're going to die. Well, what should we do? Well, there's no, if they were to say this, there's no risk involved. All we do is cut this out. You'll never have it again. If you don't, you're going to die because of it. You say, cut it off. Do it now. If it's my hand, cut it off. Do it now. It's the same with sin. I watched this reality show, and I won't mention it, but it's pretty funny. And one time the dad caught his son, like, looking at stuff on the internet he shouldn't. And it's not a Christian show, but he took the kid's Mac laptop. He takes it out of the third floor bedroom and throws it out the window. And the dude's like, Dad, what the heck? He's like, I don't want that in my house. That's kind of what we need to be like about sin. The Chrisleys have something right. feed the right vine system, starve the other one. If the vine you are tapping into is self-pity or depression or insecurity, cut it down. The only fruit that will bear from that is negativity. If your vine is, let's raise our hand and share some of the things that that we give into. If you cut it down. You see why this is not a series, it's a lifestyle. And Brother Nate, would you play for us? And nice to see you today, and good to have you with us. Remind you, stay connected to the right vine and root system. Feed the right vine and root system. Allow the vine and root system, last one, to be pruned. The Bible calls it pruned. I say cut it down. Cut it down. These are simple things. Everyone knew these things already. But someone needs to beat us over the head every now and then. And that's not what I'm doing. But I would hope the Holy Spirit, and I ask him right now, would fill this room with grace, would fill this room with peace, would fill this room with forgiveness, would fill this room with mercy. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to fill this room with conviction. Whisper to us. Say it's high time you cut that out in your life. If you continue down that road, and I'm not just talking about pornography, but that's a big one. If you continue down that road of negativity, if you continue down that road of selfishness, if you continue down that road of self-righteousness, if you continue down that road of your addiction, of your habits, it won't lead anywhere good, I promise you. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. You're not going to all of a sudden be surprised. Oh, look, I have love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness in my life. No. Instead, you will have a big, giant tree of sin that will eventually kill you. I pray this, and I wrote out the prayer, and I say this. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I say, help us tap into not just enough freedom to get to heaven, but a life fully alive with heaping tablespoons of the fruit of the sweetness of Jesus in our lives. Let us have plenty to give away. Help us be known for our faithfulness to others, and not our flakiness to others. I used that word last week, and I'm using it again. To those in the room that feel flaky, that maybe that's a sin. God is trying to get root out of your life. Let us be characterized by goodness in our reputation with others. My prayer is almost over, but continue to pray with me. Let us be characterized by love in our families, contagious joy with our friends, peace to our neighbors. Let people taste and see that you are good through our lives before they even open the Bible. And that doesn't come by living in a bondage of sin. All they will see in us is the same thing as what they'll see, a mirror of themselves. We don't want to be the same. We want to be just a little bit different. that they would say, why is there a step? Why is there a skip to their step? Why is there a smile on their face? Why is there a peace in their walk? It's because they no longer have given in to the desires of the sinful nature. Let us live rightly.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you. Thank you.